We thank the Lord this morning for everyone that's here. I ask that you pray for us this morning. The Lord gave us this message early in the week, and we appreciate his goodness to us. Appreciate how he wants to help us and help us to be able to go through this life the way he wants us to. We want to talk this morning a little bit about our burdens and trials and why we have them and what they're for and what we need to do with them, and that we need the Lord to teach us how to be able to go through this life experiencing all these things that comes upon us in life. And our text today is 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. And we're going to take each verse separately and then maybe have a few verses after it to cement the thoughts. So we're going to start in 1 Peter 5, 6. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Do you believe that the Lord cares for us? It says, casting all your care upon him. I want you to understand here. It says, all. Now that's quite something, isn't it? We know that God shares our burdens and he carries. And we've heard many thoughts about how he takes the greater part and he carries the heavier part. But the scripture says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I appreciate how that the Lord tries to help us out. We have a lot of cares in this life. We have a lot of burdens. We have a lot of things that come our way. We have trials. We have temptations. This is life. This is where we live. We live in this world. And we're going to face these things. But the Lord, when we serve the Lord, and we can learn, if we can learn the secret, if we can learn and get the ability, be able to understand it better, how to cast our care upon him, we're going to be better off. I read a little story or a little illustration of this. You know how sometimes things can stack up on us, and I've heard from many over the last few weeks how their burdens have stacked up on them and how that they're feeling overwhelmed and feeling like they can't make it and can't make it through, and they're feeling like they just can't take anymore. They're feeling like they're coming to the end of what they can bear. And of course, we know that the Lord said he'll not let anything come on us that we're not able to bear. But do you know that we have something to do with that? How much comes on us? We have something to do with how much comes on us. The Lord said he'd not let anything, but we can let it. See, that's why we feel overwhelmed. Not because God isn't doing his part, it's because we're not doing our part. It says here, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Anyway, this little illustration is that if you have all these cares and burdens, trials, tests, temptations and everything, and you have a whole year worth, and maybe you have a stick for every one of those things, and it's now wrapped up in a big bundle, it's too heavy to carry, right? It would be too much to carry. But the Lord doesn't let our burdens come to us that way. He lets them come day by day. Now, this is what happens. The Lord says, here's your burden for today. Here's your stick. This is all you have to carry today. This is it. This is all I'm expecting you to carry today. But if I'm going over and over in my mind everything that has happened through this week, and if I'm going over and over all the wrongs and all the injustices and all the things that are happening and everything, and I'm carrying all those burdens too, then I've picked up all the sticks from the week before. Now I have 8 sticks. It's too heavy for me. What if I don't even quit there? What if I look into the future and I say, what if this happens? What if that happens? What's going to happen when this, and how's that going to work out? And we have these things we're praying about, and what if this doesn't work out, and what if that, and everything. So now I've picked up all the next week's sticks. Now I have 15 sticks I'm carrying. It's too heavy for me. The Lord has a burden for today. You are supposed to have taken care of your burden yesterday. You are supposed to cast it on Him, let Him help you with it, explain it to you, bless you in it, relieve you of the pressure of it, let you feel like, all right, it's settled, it's in your hands, Lord, I'm going to leave it right there, I'm casting it on you. Then the next day when He hands you a new stick, you can carry that stick. But we carry more than we're supposed to. We do it. We do it to ourselves. We need to learn how to cast all of our care. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I like to fish. And when you're a fisherman, you learn how to cast. You know how to cast that out there. And when you're first learning, you don't get it very far. You know, because there's a certain way that you have to, whatever kind of reel you have, a certain way you have to let go of it at a certain point in time, and you have to let it, you know, fly, and if you let go too soon, and all of it has to be coordinated together. So when you first start casting, a lot of times you'll whip it really fast and it'll plunk right in front of you. That's what we do with our cares sometimes. Oh yeah, we want them off of us. But we haven't learned how to cast. We haven't learned how to go through the steps to really cast it on the Lord. And so it just plunks there. Well, you know what happens when it just plunks there. Everybody thinks there's no fish right there. So they reel it back in. Now I've got it back on. I've got it again. See, I didn't cast it far enough. And so I've got it. Maybe you can see it in the water. Maybe you can see right where the line goes down and it's clear water and you can see there's nothing swimming around there. And you're going, this isn't going to work. If I can see the fish will see me. You know, so you reel it back in. But when you finally learn how to really cast it out there, oh, you're satisfied. You can't see it anymore. Now you have confidence there's fish out there. Right? You have confidence. You can't see it anymore, see? You can't look at it anymore. That's what we're supposed to do with these cares and burdens and everything. We're to cast them on the Lord to where we can't see them. That doesn't mean that we don't know they're there. I know it's out there in the water, out there in the deep water. But because I can't see it, it's not fresh in my mind. It's not supposed to stay fresh on your mind to where you are carrying it and worrying and carrying all this anxiety about it. So, and there's some people that they can't leave it out there. I've gone fishing with people that can cast good. But if something doesn't happen right away, they reel it back in. Something's got my worm, you know, there's no bait left. There's this, I must have it in a bunch of weeds. You know, it can't be seen. I mean, there's all kinds of things you start thinking. So they start thinking. They can't see it. They don't know any of that is happening. But because something hasn't happened yet, I have to reel it back in and look it over again. And that's what we do with our cares. Because something hasn't happened yet. See, when we cast it on the Lord, we are saying, these are your cares, and I'm going to trust you to work them out in your time. I'm going to trust you to do that. I don't expect you're going to work them out right this second, right this minute. If you do, wonderful. But if you don't, I'm not going to worry and fret or anything. I've already cast it on you. I've given it to you. You're going to do something with it. You don't forget anything. The Lord does not forget anything. He doesn't lose pieces of paper. He doesn't file it in the wrong file. He doesn't do any of that. He knows exactly where it is, what's happening, and how He's working with it. He is trustworthy. So when you cast it on Him, He picks it up. And He says, don't worry, child, I'll take care of it. But there are some, something doesn't happen right now, so I reel it back in and I start worrying about it and I start trying to do something with it and I start trying to, you know, call this one, call that one, call here, call there, trying to get more answers, more everything. And really, they had it in the best place possible. They had already cast it on the Lord. Just because you don't see something happening, just because you don't see what God is doing, doesn't mean he's not working. How long did he work on you before you finally gave in to the Lord and said, I'll be your child, Lord? How long was it? How long was it before anybody recognized that the Lord was dealing with you? Maybe a long time. But God was still being faithful. He was still bringing experiences in your life that was teaching you things. It was teaching you that you couldn't rely on yourself. It was teaching you that you had no control over things. He was teaching you that you don't always have the right answer. See, when we're out there in sin, there's a lot of things God is teaching us all the time. We haven't given in to him yet, but he's still teaching. He's still helping us to see. And the hope is that he will get you to a place to where you see, I can't run my life by myself. It's too hard for me. I don't even know the right thing to do most of the time. See, but how long does the Lord have to work with a person before he gets it over to them that they don't know the right thing to do every time? Because there are people out there, we start off thinking we know quite a bit. We know the right thing to do. We're willing to tell other people what they should do. But over the course of our life, we have learned, even if we haven't served the Lord, we have learned that don't be telling people what to do. Why? Because either they won't listen to you and it's a waste of time, or you didn't have a good answer anyway. Because they tried it and it didn't work. And you have proof that what you said didn't work. And you've done it in your own life. So all these cares in Philippians 4 and 8. 4 through 8. 4, 6 through 8, sorry. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be full of worry. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So this is what we do when we have troubles, burdens, trials, cares, worries. It says, number one, it tells you, do not worry. That's what it means here. Be careful for nothing. It means do not worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. In other words, you're going to pray about it. You're going to ask for working in it. You're going to ask for results. You're going to lay it all out before the Lord, pray about it. And with all of that, you're going to thank the Lord. You can't leave one of these steps out. You can't just cast it on the Lord and walk away and never think about it again, not even ask him for anything. No, it's your job to ask for results about the things that are happening. And you can't deliver this and try to cast your cares on the Lord without thanksgiving. You know what kind of thanksgiving is good at a time like that? When you go to cast your care on the Lord, you start thanking him for all the other times that you cast your care on him, all the other times you asked for things, and all the answers that you got. Do you know what will happen to you if you get down in prayer and do that? You say, oh Lord, here's this fresh burden. I don't know what to do with it. I don't understand it. But I'm casting it on you. I'm leaving it with you, Lord, because I don't know what to do. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would work it out and that you'll work it out in your time. Now I'm asking for things. And then I end it with, and Lord, I can trust you and I'm thankful to you because last week when I asked for this and I left it in your hands, this is what you did. Last year when I had that big burden and that big thing that came and I didn't know what to do and it bothered me for days and days and days, when I finally gave it to you, Lord, you worked it out better than I could have ever thought. And you start thanking him for all those things. Listen, you're going to get up off your knees with something that will help you to let that care sit there.
Amen.
To let it just cast it there and let it sit there. Because you will have built up your own most holy faith by telling God and thanking Him for all the things He's already done. It's the devil's job to let you forget. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The peace of God. When you cast something on the Lord, you're going to get peace. If you don't get peace, you haven't cast far enough. You haven't cast far enough. You need peace. And if it takes you all day praying to get the peace, you do it. Don't just give up. And then the next day you're carrying what was there yesterday, and now you got the new burden today. Don't do that. Pray until you get peace. To where it's settled. To where you know and you're inspired that God will take care of this in His time. I do not have to worry. I do not have to carry it. I don't know what to do with it anyway. It says that that peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. When we're carrying burdens and cares and trials, our minds are full of unrest. Our minds are going here. Our minds are going there. It's pondering this problem. It's pondering what if. It's pondering all these different things. But He said, if you, through prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, really give it to the Lord, you'll have a peaceful mind. See, peace will come. The peace of God will come. It will not only rest your body, if it's a physical something, but He will rest your mind. And you will not be cumbered with it all day long. We don't have to live like that, saints. He said, cast it, and we can cast it as far away as we want to. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there's any virtue and praise, think on these things. Now, when we're carrying cares, this is not what we are pondering. We are not pondering true or things like that. We are pondering what ifs. We are not pondering things that are just. We are pondering all the things that are unjust in the whole thing that's bothering us. We're not pondering what's of a good report and how Sister So-and-so got an answer here and Brother So-and-so was answered there. No, we're thinking about all the bad things. All the bad things that have happened. Well, you know, this happened to so-and-so and this happened over there. And I remember. And it doesn't have virtue. And there's no praise in it. And that's what our mind, with our cares, our troubles, our burdens, that's what our mind is doing. It is thinking on all the opposite of these things. And yet we're told, think on these things. See, first we're told, don't be full of worry. Then we're told, through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, how to cast it out there, how to get it. Then we're told we're going to have peace. And that passes understanding, and our minds are even going to be peaceful. And then we are told that our minds have to be disciplined for the rest of the day. After you've done this, your mind has to be disciplined. It has to only think on pure things, honest things, good report things. Every time you find something creeping in that is different, you have to kick it out. This is the road to how to cast and keep it out there. This is how you do it. This is what the scripture teaches us. All right, but in 1 Peter 5 and 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It's the devil that starts flooding our minds with everything that is opposite of true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. He wants to bring up, well, you remember when so-and-so this happened. You know, that was a bad outcome. Now, you remember this, or what if that, and, you know, you can't just do nothing. You have to do something. You can't just let people walk over you. You have to. This is what he wants to flood your mind with through the day. The Lord has given you a formula that works. But the devil is coming after the formula. He knows it works. So he's coming after it. And he's going to try to flood your mind with all of the negative things. And it is up to you to guard your sacrifice. That care you cast way out there, it's up to you to guard it. It's up to you to keep it out there. It's up to you not to pick it up. It's up to you when this comes in and says, well, you know, this could take a long time. You can either say, I'm not listening to anything you say, Satan. Or you can say, it might take a long time, but that's God's business. I'm trusting him. See, every time the enemy brings a negative thought, you can turn it. And you can start talking about the positive side. You can talk out loud to yourself. You can talk to yourself in your mind. It may take a long time, Lord, but I'm trusting you because it took a long time for you to get me saved, get me to the place where I wanted to be saved, but I'm saved now. When you work a work, it's perfect. It'll be right. I can cast this on you and let you work it out. See, it's a reinforcement throughout the day of what God can do, what he will do. Instead of all of the negative and all of the in our mind worrying about this, worrying about that, what's going to happen? If this is going to happen, that's going to happen. That isn't going to help us, dear ones. In Revelations 12:12, it says, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath. Why? Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. See, the devil knows some things that you don't know. He knows he has a short time. And it says he's come down with great wrath. He's very, very angry. And he wants to destroy all that God has created. That includes us. So, expect to be challenged every time you move forward for God. Expect that when you cast that care out there, that the devil's going to try to get you to reel it back in. And you know how you reel it back in? Just start thinking about it again. Just start pondering over your mind, and you're just reeling slowly. It's coming back in. And then start thinking about the what if, and here comes a little closer. You know, and you start in all this. Before you know it, you're carrying it again, and it's heavy. You can't let those things come into your mind. The enemy is going to present them, but you don't have to take them. Luke 21:34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. Listen, we have cares and trials and struggles. Everybody does. Sinners do. Saints do. Everybody does. We have a formula to use to get out from underneath them. But why do we need to get out from underneath them? It's because there's something more important we need to be looking at. We need to be pondering our soul, where we're at. Are we obeying like we should? We need to be pondering in our mind what we need to do. We need that. We need to be looking for the Lord's second coming. He's coming back, see? People are going to be caught unawares. That's what's going to happen. But it's not supposed to come on us unaware. There are going to be people that are shocked and unaware and oh no and all those things. But not us. Why? Because we didn't let the devil fill our minds all day. We didn't let him challenge us all day. We let the Lord have the preeminence through the day. We let the Lord have the preeminence in our mind. We cast our cares and our burdens and everything all on him because he said we could. And we leave him out there because we know that there's something better, if there's something more important we need to be thinking about. Lord, how am I standing with you today? When you're worrying about burdens and cares, you're not asking the Lord, what's wrong with me? You're not asking him, is there something else I need to do for you, Lord? You're not busy in the Lord's work. You're not doing anything but worrying, carrying this heavy load. That's what you're doing. God wants to relieve you of that so you can think about the important things. You can think about souls, and you can be praying for them. You can be petitioning and looking to the Lord to answer things for in their lives. You can be petitioning and asking for your life. You can be petitioning the Lord for all these needs that we have here in the earth, for all mankind, all these things. Why can I do this? And how come I can have this? Because I haven't let my worries, my burdens, my cares all flood over me to where that is all I can think about. In Luke 22, 31 and 32. And this is the Lord talking to Peter. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So what is he saying to him here? This is when Peter said, he said, I'm going to be taken and this, that, and oh, I'll die with you, Lord. That's what Peter said. And the Lord looked at him. See, he's thinking on the wrong things. He had visions. I believe Peter had visions. You know what he had a vision of? He had a vision of dying in a, so to speak, holy battle. Blaze of glory. That's how I'll go out of this earth. They attack my Lord, and I'm going to die defending him. And when the Jesus said, you know, he said, oh, not me, Lord. I'll die with you. And you know he meant it. But he was thinking on the wrong things. He was thinking on the wrong things. The Lord was telling him something directly, and he was thinking of the wrong way it was going to happen. Do you know that that's what we spend much of our time doing? We have a problem. Something is there. We have a solution. Do you know we always have a solution? We always think, well, if this and this and this would happen, done. That's all that has to happen. Have you ever noticed that all of your thinking never is how the Lord works? I don't know that I have ever thought of a way this could happen and the Lord did it exactly how I thought. It's never like what I thought, because his ways are so much higher. Yes. He sees the whole picture. He knows all of the people involved. He knows all of the demons and all that are involved and what they're working and everything. He knows how to handle it all. And we see this tiny little surface thing, and we think we know what to do. Well, if it just this and this, that would solve it. We spend a lot of time worrying about how somebody needs to learn a lesson. Sometimes we think too much on wanting people to learn lessons. It's a little bit of vengeance. If we're not careful, it's a little bit of vengeance. Because we never think of something wonderful happening to them for them to learn the lesson. We only think of something bad happening to them. A car accident. Being stopped by the police. You know, this happening, that happening. You know, we think of all those things. That would stop them in their tracks. But we never think about that God could just give them a dream in the night. We never think about that God could do something good for them and they would have to hang their head and say, I know God did this. I know he helped me. And I know I'm not where I need to be. We never think of those things. We only think something bad is going to happen. Okay, where do you think that comes from? Comes from the enemy. God doesn't put those things in our head. He doesn't do that. So we spend a lot of time worrying about how God's going to work things out. Trying to picture how it's going to happen. And what's going to this and that and everything. And why are we doing that? The enemy wants to keep our mind overcharged. Drunk on its own wisdom. Drunk on its own way of seeing things. That's where the devil wants to keep us. And the Lord wants to help us to see, cast it on the Lord. Let it go. Don't think you have any answers. Just leave it with the Lord. And go on and have peace today. That's what he wants for you. But the thing was, is that Jesus was telling him, Satan hath desired to have you, then he sift you as wheat. Isn't that what happens when we have things running through our mind all day? If you've lived on a farm or been around harvest time or things like that, and they're harvesting grain, if you've ever seen grain being poured into a vessel, it quickly covers things. And if you try to step in it, you sink down and it just keeps covering you. And no matter how you can pull out and step somewhere, and it just keeps covering you. And there have been men that have fallen into silos where they're filling them up with grain, and before they could dig them out, they're dead. Because it covers them up. He just wants to sift you. You know, he just wants to, you know, put your foot in here and it's bad. And if you try to pull it out and put it over here, it's still bad. He just wants you to get covered up. And that's what he tries to do to us each and every day. And Jesus knew that. Okay, 1 Peter 5:9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, the devil. Resist the devil steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Resist steadfast in the faith. Resist the devil. So in James 4:7-8. Submitting yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Submit yourselves. Listen, when we go to casting our cares out there, and we cast them way out there, we have to do some submitting to the Lord. We have to submit that it may take time for the Lord to answer. We have to submit that we don't know the answer. We have to submit that we can't put our hands on it. We have to submit to the Lord. And then it says, after we've done all this submitting to God, it sets a foundation. When you're submitting to God, it sets a foundation where you can resist the devil. If you haven't laid a foundation of submission, you will have no success at resisting the devil. Because the submitting part is saying, God, you know best. God, you do it your way. God, I'm going to leave it in your hands. God, I don't know what to do. You're letting God know, and you know that I can't do anything about this. It's all in you. I have submitted it to you. Now it's easy to resist the devil. He brings something in. Well, you really ought to do so and so. No, I submitted that to God. It's submitted. I already did that. See, I already laid the foundation. So now I can resist the devil. But if I haven't laid any foundation, and the devil is coming in, I haven't cast the care like I should, and I'm still carrying it somewhat, and the devil's coming in, and then I say, oh, I need to resist the devil. It says resist and he will flee. And I'm saying, I resist you, Satan, I resist this, and I won't listen to that, and it's just pouring in. It's just, but why? Because you haven't laid a foundation of submission first. Submission to his will in it. Submission to how he wants to work it. Now you have something to stand on to resist the devil, and then he has to flee because he has no success. Then it says, draw nigh to God. We can't just resist the devil, put him on the run, and then go about our business doing whatever we want the rest of the day. No, we have to draw nigh to God. We've resisted the devil. Now we need to say, Lord, help me to be closer to you today. Draw me in. Draw my mind in. Bless me. Help me. Quote scripture. Sing songs. Draw nigh to God. And what does it say? He'll draw nigh to you. We go after God. He comes to us. He will never leave us hanging out there when we're coming to him, when we're drawing nigh to him. I'm not talking about in this, I'm not talking about in a panic. You know what I'm talking about. I'm panicked. Everything's going wrong. All this is happening. Lord, 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 help me, help me, help me. Drawing nigh to you. No, that isn't what that is. That's panic. You have to do some submitting, some casting, some resisting. Then you can draw nigh to God. See, the way is clear. There's nothing standing in the way. The devil is not able to block any of your efforts to get closer to God because you've handled it right. You've gone through the steps. You've laid the foundation. Now I draw nigh to God and, oh, those days. You know what those days are like. When that happens just perfectly and the Lord reveals scripture to you and he blesses you in a song and there's a joy that overtakes you and all that's drawing, you're drawing nigh to God. But I'm going to tell you, you didn't get there without doing some of this other first. You may not have recognized it as this, but this is what you were doing and that's what brought it. And that's why so many of the elders that we look at seem to live there. You know what I'm talking about? They seem to live there where they're joyful and peaceful and their minds aren't stirred up and they're calm and they're enjoying the blessings of the Lord and they have joy in their hearts. And we look at them and say, how do you do that? Because they've done all this. They've learned the secrets. They've learned that there's foundations to be had first before all of that can flood in. They've settled it. They've settled it. Lord, I'm trusting you. I've just settled it. I've cast that at the all the doubt and the different things. I've cast that out there. And I've just settled it. I'm trusting you, Lord. Whatever. I'm trusting you. And that's why they have that peace that passes all understanding. Now, there's none, we don't need to ever feel like. In Acts 14:22 it says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Don't ever think that you can get to a place where you will not have to fight a battle. You're going to be a soldier forever. Don't ever get to the place to where you think you're not going to have a burden, you're not going to have a care, something isn't going to come on you. That isn't true. But if you have the steps on how to handle it, how to cast it, how to build a foundation of submission so that you can make the devil flee and have peace that day, it doesn't matter what kind of stick the Lord gives you that day to carry, you'll be able to do it. Because that's all you have to worry about. And you can come through. But there's going to be much tribulation. You're not going to fight this battle and then expect there's not going to be any battle tomorrow. There's not going to be a stick tomorrow. There'll probably be a stick. It might be a small one. You may not even notice it very much. Sometimes those small ones can build into big ones because we didn't take note of them. When they were small, we should have took care of it. We should have handled it. We should have gone after it with a vengeance when it was just that little stick. Instead, we let it get bigger. All right, 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Perfect. After ye have suffered a while. Do you hear that? Is suffering hard?
Amen.
Is suffering painful? Is suffering something that is not easy always to get out from underneath of? It's suffering. But he says, after the Lord is telling us something, after you've suffered a while, didn't say how long, but a while, something's going to happen. Because you're going to follow these steps to get out from underneath it. You're going to learn how to fight the devil. You're going to learn how to submit to the Lord. You're going to learn how to cast your cares and troubles on him. You're going to learn these things. They're going to become cemented in your life. After you've suffered a while, what's he going to do for you? It's going to make you fit. Perfect. Perfect means fit, sound, complete. All right? He's going to establish. It means stable, firm, consistent. And then strengthen. In the Bible definition, it means to confirm in spiritual knowledge and power. Strengthen you in spiritual things. Settled, make a firm foundation. See, after, dear ones, you've suffered a while. I'm not talking about a feel-good salvation that I don't have any cares, I don't have any troubles, and if I have any cares and troubles, then somehow, you know, I'm not believing in this, you know, how there's a doctrine out there that if you think it, you can have it, and all these things. No, I'm not talking about that.
Amen.
I'm talking about really gaining victory. Fighting the enemy, picking up our weapons, being a good soldier, learning how to do this the correct way so that we can have a peaceful mind amidst all of our burdens and trials and cares. That's what God is after. So, in 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, it says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Do you know that temptations and burdens and trials and tests and all, do you realize they're heavy? They're heavy. You're not going to ever get to a place to where you just skip through everything. They're heavy. But you can learn the steps to cast them, to gain victory over them. You can apply those steps. But you will never get to the point to where you do not have to apply the steps. You will have to apply these steps over and over and over again because you're going to have manifold temptations. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ." See, this is the thing, the trial of your faith. It's more precious than gold. Why? Because it's going to make you ready when the Lord comes. It's going to make you ready when you depart this earth. That's what these are all about. God uses these burdens and trials and testings to cause us to dig deeper in him, to learn how to have warfare against the enemy, to learn how to be what we need to be in this world, to be witnesses to everyone around us, what the Lord has for people that want to follow him. In 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, it says, "For our light affliction," is that a hard one for us sometimes? Because we feel like all of our afflictions are pretty heavy. But you know what he's comparing it to? He's comparing it to something more valuable. "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment." In other words, our light affliction that is but for this little lifetime we have. 60, 70, 80 years. He's calling that moment. Because in eternity, that's all it is. And our light afflictions, the things we have to go through here for this moment compared to the grandeur and glory and blessings of heaven for eternity, it means nothing. We need to get our thinking straight. This is not the important place. This is just a getting ready place. Getting ready to go and be with the Lord. The things that happen here, they come, they go. They happen to the just and the unjust. The evil people get good things. Good people get evil things. This is life. But it's only going to be for a moment. Whatever your lot is in life, it's only going to be for a moment. And then you have all eternity free from all the things that troubled us and bothered us and weighted us down and hurt us and we suffered with here. Light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen here, all of this, but the things which are not seen over there. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Eternal. And we need to get our thinking straight. We need to start thinking about eternity. We need to think of eternity more and of this earth and its trials and tests less. We need to make it a light affliction. Listen, we look at our lives. We haven't, all of us in this room haven't suffered very much. No matter what all we've gone through, we haven't suffered very much.
Yes.
All you have to do is read stories of other people in this world and what they're under and what they suffer.
Yes.
We haven't suffered very much. Why do we let it weigh us down every day? Why do we let it carry us through? Why do we let it bog our mind and plug us up to the blessings of God? Why do we let it do that? When so many others are suffering so much greater things than what we suffer. Light afflictions. The Lord has a way for us to go through them. He has a way for us to have a peaceful mind. He has a way for us to learn how to resist the devil after we have laid a foundation of submission. Then we can resist the devil. Not until. Until you've submitted to God and laid a foundation of that, you will not be successful at resisting the devil. Amen.